I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
On to next, Parry Eels, Doggies. Wow. Eels looked like a premiership threat, but we don't know. Is that going to be the Eels next week? Who knows? Dylan Brown.
For your sake, I hope it's not.
Yeah, fuck.
For my sake too, I hope it's not, actually.
Mate, Dylan Brown was absolutely phenomenal. And what I loved about this performance is a lot. We'll talk about his incredible plays. Everyone saw that. What a lot of people may not remember, 8 minutes to go. The game is done. It is over. He has put on one of the best performances, if not the best performance of his career, one of the best performances all year by a player. There's a kick down the left side. Guess who the guy is chasing all the way from the other side that grounds the ball with his torso. Now, some people say isn't with his torso, but your torso is down to your hips, isn't it? That's what my understanding. So I think it was, but even if it wasn't, he was still the only player chasing. And that, for me, is what makes Dylan Brown great, and that's why I think he's going to have an incredible career, because even when the game is over and he has killed it, he had every reason to put his feet up and go, boys, I've led you to a fucking incredible victory. He said, nah, my job is not done. He chases back when he doesn't have to, when he saves a try. He is incredible, such a good player. The Eels were absolutely outstanding. What did you think of this game?
I can't tell you how happy I am that we both died on the Dylan Brown hill last year.
We were getting pummeled. Getting
absolutely. It was ridiculous. But yeah, he's playing great footy this year. You obviously mentioned that play. He's had a heap throughout his career where he's come up with these defensive efforts where you just think, why are you there? You know, you don't have to be there. No one's expecting you to be there. And he just finds a way, Dylan Brown. And yeah, I thought the pass that he threw to Sebo, I think it was.
Beautiful.
Oh, so good. Like it just like it's close to a perfect ball.
It was a no look pass too. Yeah,
he's a freak, and like the combinations that he's built with Sean Lane, who I think's I heard Brown talking about after the game, and he said that Sean Lane's been our best player this year, and I sort of went you're probably leaving yourself out.
Yeah,
but fuck, he's up Sean there. Lane, the two of them have just been incredible out on that edge. Even like the way that Mitch Moses and Dill Brown were connecting, like, is there ever a better sign of a team going well than when their halves are able to connect like that? I know that you posted and talked about him being, you know, cool and whatnot, but for him to come into, you know, and the angle he came in onto that rolling ball and just get a light touch on it to make it sit up on the next bounce. There's not many guys that could do that.
Oh, mate.
There's hardly any that could do it.
We're not even seeing close to his potential. Like, he is an athlete. Like, if you put his athletic potential, just that alone can get him into first grade. Mm. But he's also a footballer as well. So that's the scary thing. We've got this guy that's, you know, 6'1", 6'2", fast, fit, strong, but he's also got the silkiness of a guy that's not athletic but a really good footy player.
And I think that was his biggest detriment last year, that if you didn't understand footy, you looked at the stats and you said, oh, not enough tries. His timing is so good that last year he just wasn't getting the stats that he should have got.
Mm.
All the other guys outside him, and we said it all last year. Now it started to change. He's obviously on the front foot a bit more now. Just incredible. Like, I come back to it again, that play where he sort of kicked it through. Like, obviously, you were very good with your feet. Like, people don't realise how hard that is to do.
And his left foot too, I think you trapped it with.
It's crazy.
It's just, mate, he is honestly. The hard thing is that by all reports, Moses and Brown are going to test the open market. What do you do there? If you're the Melbourne Storm, he's my number one priority.
Oh, man, I think if you're a lot of clubs, could you sign him as a halfback or not?
No,
six.
I think that the closest player to Munster is Dylan Brown in the competition. Now they're not close. They're not similar.
Yeah, but he's the closest.
He is the closest. A big, strong, ball running six that has silky hands.
So if you were like Newcastle, Dil Brown isn't a guy that you look at then. Like, it wouldn't be bad to have, but like, he doesn't really solve your halfback issue for you then.
Oh, in saying that, I feel a lot more comfortable if I'm going Clune, Brown, Ponga. A spine with Ponga and Brown in it, it's pretty hectic. Mm.
if you arrived down in Melbourne, that'd be terrible, man. Well, like him and Hughes, if you had the two Kiwi halves together.
Yeah. Well, I've actually got a post I'm going to do probably maybe later today talking about Kiwi carnage. Hughes and Brown are the current Kiwi. Like, we've had some of the greatest Kiwi halves, you know, ever. But I don't know if we've ever had two Kiwi halves at the tippity top of their game, at the top of the NRL when it comes to, like, with Cleary and Munster at fullback, Cleary out, the best halves in the comp right now are Kiwi. Now, you know, when Benji was coming through, he still had Lockie, he still had Thurston, he still had Kronk. You know, I just can't remember a time when you could even make an argument that Brown has been better than Munster at six this year. Like, that's how good Brown has been this year, in my opinion. Now, I still have Munster at number one. At number seven, Hughes' stats are not that far off Cleary's. Like, Cleary's still number one. I think the Kiwis right now with Brown and Hughes, I cannot remember a time when they've had six and seven in the most red hot form you can imagine.
Yeah. And I just think the spine in general, we spoke about it around Rhett Brown, and people will say, oh yeah, but they had that time where they had SJ4 and Roger. It's like, it wasn't all at the same time.
No.
It wasn't all in the same two seasons, let alone one season. At the moment with, you know, the Kiwis having Brandon Smith at nine, those two halves, like, they're incredible.
Yeah. Another thing as well is, like, you know, 2011, Johnson made a grand final. But we're talking about Hughes here, who's winning grand finals. Like, he's winning grand finals in the best team in the comp, like the Storm, you know. So although Sean Johnson on his day was phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal, I still think, like, Hughes right now, he is a tippity-top premiership threat half, and he has been that way for 2 years.
Hughes is essentially a utility that stepped into Cooper Cronk's shoes and was successful.
Yeah. And so, mate, the Kiwis are just something to be super excited about. These two players together, it's going to be scary. And then you look at fullback, Joey Manu. Then you look at nine, Cheese.
When I was saying that, I was just trying to think who's the fullback. I couldn't remember. Joey Manu, fuck. Yeah.
And then you've got Cheese at nine. I personally think it may not be the greatest ever spine for Kiwis on paper as in their names, like, you know, your Benjis, your Sean Johnson. But I personally think it is actually the greatest spine they've ever had.
It's the most informed spine. Easily, I think.
I think this spine would beat a spine of, let's say, Foran, SJ, you know, who would be a fullback, you know?
Roger,
and then who would be a nine? Isaac Luke. I think this spine beats that spine.
No, I think that's fair. I do, yeah.
And again, those guys were absolutely fantastic. I just think that, like, as you said, Foran wasn't at the tippity top of his game whilst he was with SJ, and SJ wasn't at, like, they never ever came at the same time.
Never coincided at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, for example, Isaac Luke, you'd say 2014 was his best year.
Yep.
And then Foran, what, he come in 2011 or 13 at the Manly?
No, I think he was like 11 was that his first year?
No, I think 10 was his first year. Yeah.
So, 11, he would have been like, so they won, what year did they win? 11?
11.
So, and they beat the Warriors.
Yep.
Yep.
So that was probably the only time when you would have SJ and...
And Roger hadn't debuted yet.
Roger hadn't debuted yet. So Foran's arguably at his peak. You've got SJ, but did... So
we're forgetting, I think Benji was the 7 for
New Zealand. I think Benji was a 7, so SJ wasn't even the 7.
No, I'm just looking. So in the last New Zealand game of 2011, Foran and Benji were the halves.
And so Benji wasn't in career best form then.
Who was the fullback?
Kevin Locke.
Yeah, I cannot remember a spine that has that. Again, names wise, I'm not saying that they're bigger than the Benjis and the not at all. But form wise,
yeah,
like Benji's huge year was 2010. I'm pretty sure. I think he won Golden Boot that year. We're going back a bit, but yeah, I think you're right. Like they're all colliding all at the same time.
They're all in.
That would be the closest. The Benji, Foran, year 2011,
and unreal that we've got a World Cup this year for it.
So good. So like that they are a scary combination. Then Tarpanair. Then you've got Fisher Harris. Then you've got is Leota playing for Samoa or Kiwis? I think anyway.
But like on top of that as well, like I remember sitting here a year ago going, fuck, Roger's gone. New Zealand's in trouble.
Yeah. Joey Manu, far out. Yeah, it's really, really exciting times. Now I'm sure, like some people have said, they kind of feel that Benji Foran spine, but I just think that when you like cheese at 9, fuck, I don't know if we've ever seen a more informed New Zealand spine. I really don't, and I think that spine, even if you could pick like Benji in his best year, Foran in his best year, Isaac Luke in his best year, Roger in his best year, I still think that spine right now would challenge that.
I think so.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's how good these guys are going.
That 2011 year, I just looked it up. Isaac wasn't even playing hooker. He was playing off the bench. Tom Saluai was the hooker. I think when Madge came in 2012, that's when we saw the best of Isaac Luke.
Yeah. So Kiwis, get excited. Seriously. Like, it's exciting times for the Kiwi side. Now, back to the Eels. I think, I'm pretty sure Junior Polo is injured. I don't know. I was speaking to someone that apparently he is actually playing on one leg or something.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, because it makes sense. Again, once again, only 86 meters, 10 carries, and I think he might be injured because before that, early this year, he was absolutely phenomenal. Sean Lane, 170 meters. Papali'i, 156. I thought Murata Nakora had some really good runs as well.
Say it every week. God, they're gonna miss him.
Oh, I think he's definitely underappreciated. I think he's going to be great for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Really good for the Warriors. I thought Opacek had a really good game. I thought he was great.
I think he's very underrated, mate. Mm. I think there's obvious, like, he doesn't have the highlights and everything, but he's just consistent. He's just, I don't think he ever plays a really bad game. He never plays like a 9 out of 10, but you just get a 7 every week. And, you know, when you look at some of these teams and some of their centers, like, they should be begging for a 7 out of 10 every week sometimes.
Well, I think the good thing for the Eels now is it seems like they've decided Wonga Blake's a wing.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually shored up their edge defense dramatically by having Benzini and Opacek in there because they're both solid. Like, people forget, Will Benzini, he's 19 still.
Yeah.
He came through with Suoli'i. So Will Benzini, he's got a huge future. I thought he was really good. And what I love about Benzini is he's he's just going about his work.
He's sort of plateaued, but he hasn't lulled. That's a good sign.
It's a good sign. It's a really good sign because that next step he takes is going to be massive because there is going to be a next step. The concern you have sometimes with rookies when they go like this, then they go boom, then they go like this, and then they go boom. Whereas the positive is, as you said, since coming in grade, I haven't seen him have a shocker. And at minimum, he's been solid.
Yeah, he's just holding his own everywhere.
And on the weekend, he was outstanding. A try, 2 try assists, you know. So yeah, like really, kind of like an unsung next gen rookie. He's 19 years old. This is a guy that was getting spoken about in the same breaths as Suoli'i. Like they came through together. Hopefully, league keep him as well because I'm pretty sure he's a Union boy. So he was outstanding. Mitch Moses, far out. He had so much to them. Just direction. They just look like a premiership threat. When he's in the side, I know they lost games with him in the side, but with him in the side, the direction is so clear. The end of sets are so set. You know where they're going. You know where the ball is going. Him and Dylan Brown, their combination is just getting better and better and better. I really hope they can keep both players.
There's not a hope in hell they're competing for a comp if Mitch Moses isn't on the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
So say what you want about him. He is still a Premier 7 in our game.
I think so. And the reason why, part of the reason why I would love the Eels to win a comp is for a guy like Mitchell Moses to finally get his flowers. Because I just think that for too long, he's an easy target.
Yeah.
But he has continued to develop his game. And, you know, unfortunately, look, I'm not having a crack at Luke Brooks at all. I think it's more evidence of the environment than Luke Brooks. But Brooks and Moses came through, and Brooks was probably seen as the better.
He definitely was. Yep.
One guy goes away to the Eels and makes the move. One guy stays at the Tigers. Look how far Moses has taken his career, where he played Origin last year. And that's all because he has just refused to quit. He's refused to all the negative and the people chatting shit. He's just kept working. His defense that used to be a bit of an issue.
Mm.
Now he goes games not missing tackles.
Yep.
I really like Mitchell Moses. I really do. And I never have understood the negative energy around him at all. He's passionate. I want him yelling and spraying. What's crazy? What I find strange, and it's all about winning, but a guy like Joey, he was passionate as anything. He used to yell and scream and all that kind of stuff, and we love it. And then when Mitchum does it, apparently it's too much and this, that, and the next thing.
It's funny how we fall into those traps.
Yeah, it's weird. I get it. Joey won comps, so you kind of go, he won comps, whereas Mitch Moses, I thought he was outstanding on the weekend.
You've got just written there that silky ball from Brown to Madison, just on the high view. Fuck, that was a good try to watch. You had Moses set up on the right-hand side, and, if you pause it and you have a look, the defense had them for numbers, and then Dill Brown just peels across, and Moses just slides, and all of a sudden they create this number out of nowhere, and Dill Brown comes from a perfect blind spot. Madison runs a perfect line. As a defensive side, when you see that and you see your man Moses drift out, then all of a sudden Dill Brown's coming out, you must just be sitting there going,
"Yeah,
fuck, how on earth are we going to stop this now?"
And perfect. Madison went overs.
Yes. Yeah.
And what's so hard about that, because what they did was they set up a block shape. So a block shape usually is where the lead player hits on the inside shoulder and then you see the sweeping player behind. But what the Eels did is instead of hitting the inside shoulder, they drifted out. So it's very hard for a defender, because 9 plays out of 10, you have to check that inside shoulder.
Yep.
But so your body is almost moving towards that, going, "Oh my God, Madison's coming. I've got to be ready, And then he hits out. You get stuck in mud. And if your outside defender gets in front of you, which a lot of defenders are doing to try and shut plays off, the gap's right there. Beautiful play. I know I get shit for it, but I think the Eels are premiership threats. I think they are. I really do. And I know it's against the Bulldogs, rah, rah. And I just think that when you watch them play, yes, it's against a team that's at the bottom. It's quality footy.
So what if all these top 8 sides play their best footy at the right time of the year? Mm. Mate, it could be one of the great final series.
Well, that's the thing. I think maybe my definition of premiership threat might be very different to a lot of other people.
Mm.
When I say premiership threat, I mean they can win the comp. As in, if they go on to win, I don't think it's oh my God, the Eels have gone on this crazy run. Because for example, I still think I never thought the Broncos were a premiership threat. I just don't think they can win the comp. A few weeks ago, I would have said the Rabbitohs, I don't think they can win the comp. I'm still they're probably a premiership threat, but I'm still not 100% in that camp. Same with the Roosters. I just want to see a few more games from them, one or two. It's really, at the moment for me, premiership threat is Panthers. Storm have obviously roared back into contention. Cronulla, Cowboys, and Eels. Right now, that's who can win it.
So you've got the Eels pegged on top of Roosters and Souths at the moment, as far as who can win it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, probably. Only because they've beaten Storm and Panthers. But as I said, I just need to see another couple of games, especially from the Roosters, because they have just gone steadily like that.
So are you saying that in your mind, the Broncos are the only team in the top eight at the moment that you think can't win the premiership?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. And I've always said that. Like, I just don't think they've – I think they need another year together and maybe one a recruit. But – and also, like, they've got – yeah, I just think they know they need another year together. I would say that, like, the reason why the Eels one is so just out there, it's because they've beaten Panthers twice in the Storm.
Yeah,
that's what makes it so bizarre. Whereas if you take those wins away, I'd say no, I don't. I just don't think so. And I also will say, like, I'm not 100% sold on. Like, right now, I would have – it would go, like, play clubs that I don't think can win would be, like, Roosters, Rabbitohs, Broncos. Like, as in – that could fall in that category. Broncos are already in that. Rabbitohs are probably still in it. Roosters, I just need to see them play a top-tier club. I know they played the Cowboys, but that was after a tough week.
Yep.
Like, Roosters and Rabbitohs are right on the edge for me. I don't know where I put them. I want to see another two games, and then I'll be able to make a decision. But right now, those three teams I would have probably towards the bottom. And then the Cowboys, Sharks, Eels, just because of those two crazy wins, and then obviously Panthers, Storm. That's who I can see as premiership threats right now. Like Rabbitohs, for me, for example, like we spoke about earlier, where I'm torn because it was a good game of footy, but they were playing a team without three of their key players.
Yeah.
So how can I say they're premiership threats when they just lost to a team without their... So just want to see a little bit more from them. Just a little bit more. But yeah, anyway, on to the Doggies. And to be fair as well, I actually think that this is one of the closest top eights we've had in a very long time. I still think the Panthers are like out and away favourites. But I think that this top eight, like last year, if you had said to me who is a premiership threat, I would have probably said Eels when they went on their run, Storm, Panthers. That's it. And then Rabbitohs came out of fucking nowhere, so that proved me wrong. Now onto Bulldogs. What do you think about the Doggies?
Yeah, another one of these games. Disappointing.
Actually, sorry, before we move on, who's your premiership threat?
I've got, obviously, Penrith. I personally think the Sharks are going to go on a bit of a run. I've got them and Penrith in the grand final at the moment.
Mm.
I would have Souths and Roosters in front of Parramatta, personally, just because they've got guys in their teams that have done it before, been there and done it before, especially the Chooks, which... You know, I'm surprised I'm saying that because I didn't think they'd have their shit together, as I've said, for the last 6 or 7 weeks, but they look like they've got it sorted. I think the Cowboys, I would say they are a threat, but I think they're just a slightly better version of the Broncos. I still think they're going to need another year before they're going to really have a crack at a premiership. Who haven't I mentioned? I'm the same with you, Storm. As the Broncos. Oh, and the Storm, yeah. I've pushed them back up. I still don't think... I think it's going to take a very special effort to beat Penrith regardless of anyone.
Yeah, I agree with that. So we're both essentially like Broncos are really the only one in the eight where we go.
I think we're both exactly the same, except I'm probably a little bit higher on the Sharks than most people, and I'm probably a little bit lower on the Eels than most people.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Because I'm probably a little bit higher on the Cowboys.
Yeah. I respect what the Cowboys have done. I love it. I just don't think they can win a comp this year.
Yeah,
whereas, like who do you think's got more chance of winning a comp this year, the Cowboys or the Sharks? Like for me, I'd say definitely the Sharks.
It's a tough one, eh? Because they played a few weeks ago and a few bad calls and it was a close game. But I don't know. Honestly, maybe equal. Like, I don't know. Probably just Sharks. Just.
Yeah, like it's obviously going to come down to who gets, like the Sharks just need to get their full fucking team together.
Yeah.
They need Toby Rudolph. They're not going to get Katoa back, but they need Talakai back out there as well. Mm. I think the Shark is going to, anyway, we'll get to them. Canterbury.
Doggies.
Yeah, one of these games, disappointing one at Combank, Parramatta. Love playing there. Yeah, I don't know. You obviously had Tevita Pangai Jr. and Luke Thompson. Great to see Luke Thompson.
Yeah, really good. Apparently he's been going through a bit personal stuff.
Yeah,
so,
okay, good. Yeah, because that was strange how he just...
So he had all the head knocks and he was struggling for like weeks and weeks, and then I think his mum had some issues or something.
Yeah, okay. Right. So, good to see him back. I don't know if he's got a future at Canterbury, but if he doesn't, God, a number of teams should be.
Mate, he's a gun.
He's a weapon, yeah. And so it seems to be just a good leader as well. Yeah, mate, I'm not really sure what to touch on. Canterbury, back end of the season, only a couple of weeks left, and came up against, you know, when Parramatta play well, they can do this to anyone, we know that. I don't know what more to say on Canterbury, to be honest with you.
Yeah, look, we'd honestly just be going over. I will say, like I've said it every week, but Paul Vaughan, I really am surprised he's going. Maybe it's a price thing, I'm not sure. But yeah, look, we would just be repeating ourselves, guys, with the doggies. So unfortunately, sorry, doggies listeners, if you were hoping to hear what we had to say, but like, what really is there to say? Like, they never really were in the contest.
I think, you know, we could tell you about all the good things that are coming next year and that are going to happen next year, but you know,
we've already said that the last
12 weeks on the trot. Yeah. So,
and like, look, one thing: 66% completion rate. That's a big negative that you're never going to be able to win games against top tier teams like Eels. I know Eels are inconsistent, but this was a top tier Eels side that played. Outside of that, you know, Max King, 105 metres, 31 tackles, zero missed, but just didn't seem to have the same, just that, they don't have the, I feel like they've lost, ever since they can't really make the finals, they've just lost a bit of energy.
Yeah.
What's it been like the last 2 weeks now? Maybe the squad's just quite tired, fatigued. It's been a big year for the Dragons club. Much shit going on. And also, like, you know, new coach announcement, that might be a little bit, like, it's a lot of news. It's somewhat new. It's not Potter, so maybe that affects things. I'm not sure.
Do you reckon, do you think Matt Burton goes to the World Cup?
Man, as we say every week, like, our squads are going to be 50 people. But I wouldn't be against it.
Might do a 30-man cut and still be at 50 at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think, is it 24 people that go?
I reckon that, surely they'll take like 30, won't they, close to that?
I think they've announced it yet, but they haven't toured like since the COVID. So they'll probably take a few more just in case.
Yeah, surely I reckon it'll push up to 28, 30.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, what if you were to take me to be as a six or a centre, like you're going to have Val, you're going to have Latrell, you're going to have...
Maybe Gagai.
Suoliti will be there. Then you got like guys like Selwyn Cobbo, who I think they'll probably take as well. Who'd be your 5-8? You'd take Munster. Who'd be... Do you take Hines as coverage for fullback?
Yeah, look, I'd probably put Hines in the squad before Burton, but the positive with Burton is just the future.
Yeah.
But I think Hines and Burton are around the same age. Like, I think Hines is 23. But in saying that, maybe you go Hines back up 7, Burton back up 6.
Yeah, the other thing's going to be...
DCE.
You got DCE. The other one's going to be how they... I think Ben Hunt has to go there. No questions asked.
Yeah, he'll be the 9, I think.
Yeah, you reckon he'll be the hooker?
Harry Green will come off the bench, I think.
Nico was a late bloomer. He's 26.
26?
Yeah.
Okay, so a bit older.
Yeah.
I think Hines, like, he's going to probably win the Dally M. He'll get in the squad, surely. They'll bring him along, I think.
I think they will, yeah. So I
think they have to bring Hines because if Teddy goes down...
Well, that's where I feel like you could bring Edwards.
Well, yeah, that too.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tough one.
So are you saying that you think Cook will miss it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think so at the moment. I just think that the show that they put on, Grant and Hunt in Origin, plus the form that they've continued to play, I think Cookie might miss out. And like, I love Cookie. Love Cookie.
It's, who do you think's more likely to go, Appy or Cook? I can see, like, if Penrith win.
I don't know what Mel thinks, though. You know, yeah. Mel might be, because Mel, you know, he is from the era of like loyalty with Queensland, so he may stay loyal to Cookie. And Cookie hasn't been bad this year. He's actually having statistically the best year of his career, or at least one or two. Again, I understand he hasn't been as dominant, And I don't think he was that bad in Origin either, but I know he had like one or two plays that didn't work out, but I think he made like 50 tackles and didn't miss any. But, mate, it's a tough one. I love Cookie. I really, really do. It's just Ben Hunt is almost a Dally M. Mm. And I just think that, you know, he's not going to play seven, but he has to be in the side. And I think that the evidence of Hunt, Grant in Origin, that combo,
yeah,
it's going to be a tough one. And Malmoning has already come out and said there's essentially only two hooker spots in the squad.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting. So that's why I wonder if at the end of the day they'll take Hunt as a nine or whether they just take him as a bit more of a utility and they take two other nines, even though you'll probably play Hunt there.
Okay, because you could go – so you could go Grant, Cook, or even
– yeah. I think there's going to be one very good player in this competition that's going to miss out on a spot because of Ben Hunt, and I don't know whether it's going to be a six, a seven, or a hooker.
So it could be Hines, or it could be...
could be Burton, could be Hines, could be Cook.
Yeah.
There's a number of guys that it could
it's
be.
It's tough on Cook, though, because like he's...
it could be DCE. If they choose to go with two hookers, it could be Chairs.
It's tough on Cook, though, because like he's played in that jersey and played so well in that jersey, but it's been so many years since they played. Anyway, yeah, really interesting. Really interesting whether they... whether they bring Burton far out. I would have said yes straight away, but then I'm like, ooh, how many people?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.